So I'm texting mom, you know, hey, is everything okay? What's going on? And they had already gone to bed for the night. And then the next day, we're like, oh, this was a derailment. There was, you know, how are you? How is everything? You know, she's like, I guess things are all right for now. They're just waiting to hear from officials what to do. And that never happened. You know, no advice ever came. And then they were talking about the controlled burn and how they were going to have to, you know, make that happen, which now in hindsight, it didn't have to happen at all. Our lives didn't have to be uprooted like this at all. You know, my parents were secure. Their future, their retirement was starting. And then they got sent back completely to square one. The chemicals all soaked into the wood in your home if it's not finished. And you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, it's all finished. No, it's not. The floor joists aren't finished wood. The underneath of your hardwood floor is unfinished wood. It all soaked into that. They had their furnace filter tested, and the amount of contamination in it, it was just... No one should have to live in that. No one should be exposed to that. And then I was doing some digging about, you know, how could this have happened? Like, why, you know, the logistics of the train actually derailing. And it made me furious to find out that government regulations had been pulled back from, you know, 3 minutes per car to inspect down to 90 seconds per train car for inspection. You're going to run toxic chemicals through people's backyards, and they're allowed a minute and a half to check this 30-foot long train car for problems and a braking system that is the same design that was used during the Civil War. We're using the same design. We have more alarms and things like that, but it's still the same design. You're hauling these tankers full of tons of chemicals. We got used to hearing the sound of the trains living where we lived, but you never guess that a derailment's going to cause something like this.
Okay, so that was Penny. Now I want you to hear her mother, Shirley, who shares the rest of their story, and we're going to go straight to it. Here you go. You know, what I think is important to understand is these people have done their homework. They know what's going on with this train, and they know about these chemicals. They've done their research. And if you think that they're just a you know, farmers and they don't know nothing, that couldn't be farther from the truth. Here you go.
I'm Shirley Lambright, and we live within a mile of the train derailment. Actually, bird's eye view. Down the tracks towards into Pennsylvania.
And your daughter was talking about the farm that you all live on. How many acres do you have?
We have over 32. It's between 32 and 33.
And this was your forever home? This is where you were going to retire and spend the rest of your life?
It wasn't started out that way. I didn't want to move there because it was in the family, but my husband told me that he would make that farmhouse mine, you know, because I was moving into the families, you know, and I wanted something that was mine. So he took the next 3 years and gutted everything and made the house back to the way it was back in the time. And he made that house beautiful, and I fell in love with it. And everything was good. We had a plan, you know. He had retired, and I was on almost to retirement. We had sold our house that we live here in Darlington, close to the township building. We sold that house and built him a huge, massive garage because that's what he wanted, and that was his dream. So we're all set.
Are you back in the house now? Are you back living there?
No, I wasn't able to go back because the chemicals, I'm latex allergic and I have some immune deficiencies or whatever.
Autoimmune sensitivities.
Yeah. And so every time I go there, you know, I get symptoms of nose blisters and throat blisters and eye blisters and things like that, and then massive headaches. You know, I've seen medical doctors for it and everything, but and they've advised me just to stay away because it we've tried cleaning and it can't be cleaned enough for it not to affect me, so we've not been back.
So what's it like to not be able to return to your home?
It's sad. It's very sad. Like, we were on a plan. We had everything set. We were in motion to just when I retired, we were going to buy a van and redo it into a camper van so that we could just travel. And, yeah, we've had to use all of our financial assets to purchase a new home because we can't live in that one.
What kind of compensation has Norfolk Southern given you? And are they going to buy out your old home? And are they going to require you to let them off scot-free, or you know, I know some of these compensations come with golden handcuffs.
Well, when I discussed that with Norfolk and Southern, in the beginning they made it sound like they were going to help us. It was like they were stringing us along, but in all reality, I was told that they're not in the housing market. They don't buy houses, so that I would have to wait until their plan was set, which ended up being that vape program, which it doesn't work for us because we don't know what the value was before, and we would take a huge loss on it. So
one of the things, are you all familiar with the funders behind Norfolk Southern? Are you familiar with BlackRock and Vanguard? Mm-hmm. Okay. So they are the biggest funders of Norfolk Southern.
What I want to reference here is this is Norfolk Southern is the train company, but BlackRock and Vanguard are the primary investors for the train company. BlackRock does invest in real estate. So for Norfolk Southern to say they're not in the real estate business is because they, like so many of these deceptive companies, are one step away from the funders who actually are very much involved in real estate. And if they wanted to do the right thing, BlackRock and Vanguard, they would, and they would step up and help these people get out of these homes to be whole. Here you go.
Has anybody given you any reasons? Because I know they have their fingers in many different industries, and I'm sure real estate is one of them.
They don't. You can ask questions, but they just give you the runaround. They'll refer you to someone else and just keep that circle going. So that keeps you in a total confusion all the time.
And exhausting. It's totally exhausting. So just to wrap up, why were you so upset when you saw your mom up there testifying? What was it that really triggered in you?
Because all of the things that everyone said, it's you're getting, I hate to call it the highlight reel, but that's what it is. You're getting, you know, this is what happened, you know, these are the big things that have happened in our lives, not the day to day, not the, you know, okay, I have to, you know, get up and is the water that I'm going to brush my teeth, like the things that you do just without thinking, like getting up, going to brush your teeth, stick your toothbrush under the tap, stick it in your mouth. You just stuck contamination in your mouth. Things you do without thinking about it. So, okay, you have to remove yourself from that environment. Well, now you're at a hotel. But is the hotel far enough away? Because all of the streams here feed into the same river, and that river feeds all the water systems. So are you really safe?
Yeah, and they offered a city water, but I think one of you guys said, yeah, but it's all the water tables. I mean, yes, it's all coming from the same source.
And they're going to they ask them to pay the tap-in fee.
And they get a bill on top of it.
And they're going to get a bill. So now, instead of having free water from your own land where you know what's going in it, because what goes on your grass goes in your glass. That's how people here live. We know that. And it's not going to help.
Got it.
So that's heartbreaking to hear their stories and to see their suffering. And, you know, I say to them later, and I'm going to bring it up now while we're pulling up the next interview. It shouldn't have happened. We should have stepped up. And not only should we, the people, you know, of you know, governors in Ohio and Pennsylvania, shame on them. Shame on them for not declaring a state of emergency the moment it happened. They did it for a burn on a Philadelphia bridge, but they won't do it for these people who are suffering. But also shame on us as a nation for not figuring out how to step up and help these people. They should have been evacuated. They should have gotten out of there. They should have been detoxed. They should have been given the resources, unlimited resources they needed to heal. You're going to hear later, one of the guys doesn't even have health care now because he lost his job because he's so sick, throwing up blood and vomit, that he, vomiting blood clots, that he can't work. But now he doesn't have health care to pay for himself. Here you go.
Hi, my name is Ashley McCollum. I grew up in Darlington, Pennsylvania, and that is right on the line of East Palestine. When I bought my first home, I bought it in East Palestine, so I would be 6 minutes away from where I grew up. I lived there until February 3rd, 2023. Since then, I've been living in a hotel. I've been relocated. I haven't had more than a handful of home-cooked meals through that whole duration of time. We had just purchased a camper because that's the only thing we can afford in this housing market right now without going into substantial debt.
So you're living in a camper?
I'm going to be very soon. We're finishing up the stay that we have, and then we'll be going to a camper.
And you have a young son?
Yes.
So he was 6 years old when this happened, and I was very moved by your story where he witnessed it. That must have been terrifying for him.
Yeah. He had nightmares following that. He would talk in his sleep. My boyfriend also had the same issues where he would have basically reliving it in your dreams. I mean, I didn't sleep. I would make sure that everyone's okay. It's just the ongoing trauma and waking up in a hotel every day. It's almost like you're reminded, hey, you know, you're the victim, but we don't care. We're not going to make it right, because if they were making it right, I wouldn't be in a hotel this long. I would have had the conversation with Alan Shaw in the beginning like I did, and he would have said, okay, that makes financial sense for me to not pay for a hotel for you for a year and to basically give you what you had before. Because we have paid off my house with the amount of money he has spent. And I would have had a down payment on a house to be in the same debt I was left with.
Well, and you're paying for two abodes. So you got to pay for your current residence that's destroyed and you can't live in. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go find a place that you can live in. And you got to pay that housing as well. So you've got it coming and going, correct?
Yeah. And the worst thing is, I'm a little bit financially savvy, so my mortgage payments are only $187 a month.
Wow, I want that mortgage payment.
I'm never going to be able to find that again. For three bedrooms, two and a half bath, three-stall garage, four stories, I'm not going to find it. There is no way I'm possibly going to find that in comparison anywhere.
What do you want Norfolk Southern to do at this point?
Do exactly what they said.
Which is?
Get right. So for me, I would want my life to go back to how it was before this derailment happened. I want to have a home again. I want to have what I had before it was ruined. And that's all I asked. That's all I asked when I met with Alan. And it was just, huh, that's your mortgage. Okay, and ignored it. But that's not right.
Do you have ongoing health conditions right now?
I do, and I can't even go into East Palestine without having severe ear pain, headaches. Now I'm getting numbness in my lips again and tingling. When I go into my house, I have the whole left half of my body will go numb and tingle, almost like you're having a stroke. And you get confused. You taste metallic. Your teeth hurt. It's just insane. It's not a home. So every time I come into contact with that, I have those reoccurring symptoms.
I just want to say, on behalf of so many people who wish they could help you, and we don't know what to do, like, we're kind of at a loss. You know, it's stunning and shocking and disgusting what you guys are going through. And life was one way, and now it can never be that way again, apparently, because somebody, it might have been you, said, Alan Shaw, who's the CEO, I believe, of Norfolk Southern, said to you all, well, we just will make it right. And that somebody said, no, you can never make it right. This can never be right. There's no way you can make this right. And it's kind of an insensitive thing to say, isn't it? For him to say, we'll make it right, like trivializing what you guys have been through. How many people, and then I'll get your statement, how many people are affected in your estimation between East Palestine and Darlington and the townships? How many people are affected? Any idea?
I think I tried to make a guesstimate by getting the populations of each of the towns in the townships, and I think I was at 15 to 20,000 people.
Okay. 15 to 20,000, I will tell you.
And that's just the immediate surrounding, you know, Unity Township, Middleton Township, Darlington Township, and I forget what the township is where Union Valley is.
What's the mile radius? Because there's been a lot of discussion about 1 mile radius, 3 mile radius. Somebody suggested a 30 mile radius. What's the mile radius that encompasses those thousands?
It wasn't a mileage, it was zip codes.
So, what you're hearing, and we're going to go to news and weather, and we'll come back on the other side with some more interviews. And Steve Friend, who's joining us to talk about FISA, he's the FBI whistleblower. We're going to talk about the unconstitutionality of it all. But it seems to me if FBI were doing their job, they would be investigating this. And when you have 15 to 20,000 people impacted, and you, Governor DeWine, who's a Republican, and you, Governor Shapiro in Pennsylvania, who's a Democrat, neither one of you all call this a federal disaster area or a state disaster area. And while Biden is looking at the Key Bridge falling down and talking about and pumping his chest how the Fed should come in and pay for it, these poor people have gotten jack. We'll be right back. Do you want to experience wellness at a whole new level? It's time to make your health and wellness a priority and be your best you. Check out TotalWellFit.com for top quality nutritional and wellness products. TotalWellFit.com. It's a lifestyle thing. Welcome back. This is Jen, and we're going to just try and wrap up here with this, and I have Steve Friend on the line, but I think it's important for you to hear the entire content. We need to cover FISA because it's very important as well. So this will be on podcast as the full interview. So you'll hear content I was not able to play for you today. So I want you to go on and listen to it. But one of the things I asked is, what would you want to see happen to Norfolk Southern? The other thing we talk about in the interview, and I'll kind of summarize here, is the doctors were told to not test the blood for certain things, these dioxins and different things that are highly toxic and causing cancer and so forth. Quest and LabCorp, the two top funders for Quest Diagnostics and LabCorp, are, wait for it, BlackRock and Vanguard. The same primary investors, top two investors, for Norfolk Southern. So imagine the train derails. They go ahead and they blow up the chemicals. They throw it from here to Canada. That's what the airwaves report has. And I'm going to get that information as well that shows how the air that day and in the next few days was blowing it from here to New England, to Canada, and to Maryland. And we felt it, right? But in addition, they wouldn't allow them to test. And I actually saw a video of a woman being blocked from getting the dioxin test. They took it out of their offerings after she'd been prescribed it. The next day it was gone. So there's a call it a conspiracy, call it racketeering. I don't know what you call it other than nefarious criminal acts by corporations that are harming these people. And I'm calling on Governor DeWine in Ohio and Governor Shapiro in Pennsylvania to step up and do the right thing and call these areas state disaster areas and provide these people with the relief that they deserve. They will have lifelong health consequences until they die, which will probably be early. And shame on them for doing this. And I'm going to try and find this spot where we can have you guys listen to my question. Here you go.
All of the things that they are known for, and they just want to give us a park and move on. They don't want to get anyone out of town. They don't want to buy the houses. When I sat there and heard about these different events, I didn't realize that it would and could happen to me. And now where we are now, we have all of those chemicals from all of those events affecting us.
So what do you want to see happen to Norfolk Southern? I mean, if I, in my business, and I own an ice cream shop with my husband, if we were to poison people, God forbid, or botulism, or any number of things that the health department would shut me down immediately for, if we were to have that in any of our food products, which we make on the premises, we would be not only out of business, we would be shamed out of business, and we would be shut down by the health department, and fines would ensue, right? It would be an all stop. But Norfolk Southern continues to operate. What do you want to see happen to Norfolk Southern? Should they be in business?
Oh, they should be criminally charged. For anyone that made a decision with this and continues to let it happen, because you have to think where your foods are coming from. We supply some foods to the masses here. It goes out to everyone. So everyone should be mad right now, wanting to know where their food comes from. When you get freezer chicken, did it come from Purdue? Did it come from a location by us in East Palestine? That water that's coming in bottles, is that coming from a location that's contaminated by this?
And Deer Park is in the Pennsylvania area.
Yep. And just like what she said, if you have, let's say, the best visual, you have a bunch of milks on a table and you put a powdered chocolate scoop on it and you go, you can physically see where all of this has blown, touched down. It's going to touch water where the plume went over. Not even just the water that we're focusing on here. It's sitting in swamps. It's sitting in ponds. It's sitting in your neighbor's pond.
They actually said the dust hit West Virginia.
Yeah. So it's.
So I want to wrap up. These are the victims, and their names are Penny and Shirley and Ashley. And these people have stories. The young man who I shared about, I'm not going to be able to play his interview today, but please go on to the podcast and listen to these interviews in their entirety. It will break your heart. But then I ask you to take action on their behalf and reach out, I don't know, to the EPA. Where are they on this? Shame on the Environmental Protection Agency. And what are they doing at the FDA? Shame on them for not helping these people and protecting the rest of us from this nightmare. I'm going to bring on Steve Friend, who is a great leader who has stepped up against this cabal in his own way. He was with the FBI. He's had distinguished service until they attacked him for, frankly, revealing the truth about what's been going on. Good morning and welcome, Steve. It's great to have you back here on the Jen Charlton Show.
Oh, thanks for having me this morning.
Yeah, and obviously we're covering the East Palestine and Pennsylvania, Darlington, Pennsylvania hearing. And so do you have any thoughts before we move on about that from the FBI perspective? What happens to companies like this who, you know, these people want them criminally charged?
From the FBI's perspective, unless it's special jurisdiction, violent crime, or they really particularly don't have an interest in the physical well-being of individuals and seeking justice. They're typically it's a white-collar, public corruption-focused law enforcement agency. So, you know, the only thing that I could sort of think of would be maybe an interest in, because there's an element to it that's political, of seeking some sort of remedy for environmental impact. And you know, there's downstream effects to that. But as far as worrying about fraud and force on an actual human body, the FBI really doesn't particularly have an appetite for taking a lead on that. It's despite what they represent themselves to be in, in pop culture is going after the gangbangers and all that sort of thing. They really don't like to be the tip of the spear on violence or any physical harm.
Unless, of course, they're they're part of breaking down doors and going in after patriots. I think they've done a little bit of that. But, Steve, tell me what your thoughts are. Let's shift to the FISA situation and what's been going on. As we know now, which became revealed after, frankly, a lot of patriots went after the truth, the FISA warrant was used against President Trump to spy on him while he was, I believe, campaigning during the 2020 election cycle. And then they tried to flip it and say it was a Russian conspiracy. Did I get that right?
Yes. I mean, there was actually verifiable that they lied and they manipulated the information that they brought to the FISA courts in order to keep the get to obtain the FISA warrant. So it's further than just abusing and using 702 improperly to reverse target people and then looking for a righteous crime. They actually lied to the courts, and there was actually no ramifications for that other than, you know, being disbarred for a year and then returned to normal duty.
And they being who? Who lied?
This was the FISA warrant that they had in order to obtain against Carter Page. I believe his name was Klein Smith. That was the FBI attorney, and essentially took an email and turned yes into no, manipulated the language of it when it was presented to the courts, to the FISC, and to justify the need to do the wiretap on Carter Page. And obviously, when you swear out an affidavit that everything is true to the best of your knowledge and ability, when you actually reverse yes to no or no to yes, however it may be, that's not only perjury, but just beyond anything that I've ever seen from a law enforcement perspective, and to have no consequences for that other than, you know, having your legal license suspended, no criminal charges, because we are in a two-tiered system of justice at this point. And it shows how, you know, this process can be abused because it is in secret. You know, you have to be in the skiff, and it's not really out and transparent for people to see.
And when you say the FISC, that's the actual court, which is secret, correct? The judges are not known who sits on that court. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. This is a secret court system. It's very comprehensive. You have to, you know, present your case and do what's called a Woods file, where you know, it's very detailed, very granular. You present all the information because this is so invasive, and it does go to the edge of civil liberties issues. But, you know, we as a society, as a country, due to the laws we pass, deem that because national security is going to supersede individual liberty, but they really wanted to be careful with it. It's all done in secret. But, you know, I will note that it is over 99% of FISA warrants that are requested get granted by the FISA courts.
So you said it's in depth, and yet they lied. And so, therefore, they had to really conjure up something here in order to deceive the courts. And I'm going to ask, were the courts willing participants in the deception? Do you think they were?
Well, I think if you're looking at any of the court systems now, they're in that Washington, D.C. district. That you'd have to be blind and deaf and dumb to not think that they are political actors at this point when it comes to politically driven investigations that are going on. I mean, you look no further than in these January 6th cases, where you're actually in a district that has a city block that says defund the police, plastered on the ground, and yet they have 100% conviction rate of this particular violation of law that the back the blue anti-back the blue groups are allowing to happen in their own district. So, yeah, I think there's political motivation, particularly in the general Washington, D.C. area.
So what, in your professional opinion, is true about the FISA Act? Is it constitutional or is it not constitutional?
So the FISA Act was implemented after the Church Committee hearings because of the abuses that were at that point being exposed. So this is not new. But in essence, I would argue that it's not constitutional and certainly not being used in a constitutional fashion, because the dirty truth about FISA is that it is only useful if it is misused. You know, the intent of, say, you know, what was being debated this recently and then unfortunately passed through Congress was the FISA Section 702. And this is a counterintelligence tool. It's not a law enforcement tool.
Let me just give everybody the name of it. So it's Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. So keep going, Steve.
So FISA is a counterintelligence tool, 702. It allows the United States government intelligence collectors to collect signals intelligence, electronic communications of a foreign actor when they are not in the United States. And when I say foreign actor, not just someone who lives in Russia, a private citizen, someone who's acting on behalf of the Russian government or the Chinese government or whatever government. We can collect their telephones, their emails. We can get all of access to that. However, the problem is that because the FBI is the dual intelligence agency and law enforcement agency, it's populated by people who are interested in law enforcement and going after people who they can actually put in jail. So they use the tool and see and say that, you know, somebody in Russia, see who they're communicating with, and what's called reverse target. They say, oh, well, they've emailed this woman named Jen. Well, now we can look into Jen, and we can do multiple hops and find out everything that Jen is doing. And because they have certain parameters that are documented within their own rule book, any guidance that they have, particularly something called Appendix G, it says that if any foreign entity or actor has even any contact with Jen, whether or not she responds, like if, say, there was a Sputnik media outlet that asked you for an interview and you said, oh, that's propaganda from the Russian government, I'm not going to respond to that. Doesn't matter. Now you could potentially be the target of a foreign government, and they can open a full counterintelligence investigation on you. So now we have all the tools in order that we need to reverse target Americans who we deem to be politically problematic. And we'll say that it's for non-nefarious purposes, but we can pick and choose who we want to go after. And it is to the point now, the DWS system, the data warehouse system that the FBI has that houses all of this information, you can just go in there and type your name, Jen, and it will populate anything, and the FBI has unfettered access to that. It's illegal to use, but they do it every single day, which is why they can claim that they're 99% compliant with their own rules and regulations, but at the same time, they have millions of improper uses, and they're unapologetic about it, and they just say that they are using it for things that are not for counterintelligence, and are, unfortunately, our elected officials just swallow it whole and say, well, we have to back the blue because we want to stop drug trafficking at the border, when, in fact, a counterintelligence tool should not be used to confront drug trafficking and certainly shouldn't be used with regard to American citizens to violate their Fourth Amendment rights.
Okay, boy, there's a whole bunch there. So I want to go back to the first, one of the early things you said in that piece was they decide who to start listening to. Well, how do they decide who to start listening to? In other words, something has to trigger them. So it's kind of like what I think you said, somebody else did something that now they're starting to listen to George in Russia, so that then George may contact me, so now it's George and Jen, but I'm here in U.S., and they have, under this FISA Act, Section 702, they have the right to investigate all of us in this intricate web we weave. Is that accurate?
Yes, and I you know, there's a lot of latitude and a lot of discretion involved with this sort of work. I mean, you're just kind of like casting a line out there and looking for bad actors, and, you know, you might have somebody through one connection or another, as an intelligence agent or an analyst. You know, we're looking at Boris in Russia because we know that he works for the government there, and he's an agent of the government. We're gonna find out what he's talking about, and we'll look at all of his emails, and then, wouldn't you know it, we see that there's correspondence with you. Now,
okay.
By law, we wouldn't be allowed to look at you. We without, you know, having justification, we would have to go get a warrant for that, and that's the process how it would work. But that's not how it works at all. We, under the guise of looking at Boris, we know that we looked at Jen, but we just type Jen's name into the system anyway.
I got it. So let's step aside from that, because I can hear all of the horrible aspects of that violate our constitutional rights and privacy and so forth. And we have a problem with drug cartels and so forth. And what they're trying to say, and you just mentioned it, is that this does not apply for drug cartels, but they are bad actors. They are foreign, and they are killing us. So how do we then, whether it's FISA or some other tool, stop that because we investigate them, we search them? I mean, I know there's the Drug Enforcement Agency, DEA, and there's been some talk about how corrupt they are. So how do we tackle this problem from your perspective?
Well, yeah, I mean, the first thing is you don't use the wrong tool for the right reasons ever. I think that there's that cautionary tale has been told numerous times in the past. You don't need to belabor it. But as far as just confronting drug cartels, I will say that 702 is not appropriate for them because they're not actually a representative of their government. They're foreign. They're operating outside, but that third leg of the stool where they're actually a state-sponsored actor isn't in place. So 702 is not appropriate to use for them. Now, to confront drug trafficking in general, I think it kind of starts with putting a big, giant, beautiful wall on the border. That will go a long way and this to stop our Ali Oxenfree, where people can come anywhere within the vicinity, and then we give them, a debit card and a cell phone and, pinky promise that you're going to come and then hear. We'll have a hearing for you, a decade down the road after the point where you'll have established roots here, and we'll say that, you should be welcome into the fold.
Well, on that note, they're also giving them housing and health care. And one woman said how she was offended that she wasn't being welcomed into, and being provided for. And here she was an illegal. I mean, they've got some nerve, but go ahead.
I mean, exactly. And it would also behoove us to not have, a special line at the airport for them to just go on through when the rest of us have to take our shoes and belt off for the TSA, which stands for thousands standing around and fails 95% of all red team checks on security is security cosplay. But they get a special line to bypass that entire process. I think that
Don't go through customs. You and I have to go through customs. I mean, that's a rigorous thing right there. They ask you all sorts of questions. Did you bring a plant you shouldn't have? And do you have any, goods and things that you purchased so I can tax you on it? I mean, they don't ask them any of those questions, do they?
No, they don't. But this is just further evidence of how much our government really hates the American people. I mean, this is unrelated, but there was a story a week ago or 2 weeks ago that the Treasury Department used FinCEN to disseminate literature to all the big banks that told them to stop banking with hate groups like Liberty Council and the Alliance Defending Freedom. And they used to justify that a study called Bankrolling Bigotry, which was funded by George Soros, Bill and Melinda Gates, and then, wouldn't you know it, the Department of Homeland Security and the State Department. So our very government funds the studies that are necessary to launder into other agencies in the government so that they can shut their people down who they find politically problematic.
Oh my gosh. So that's a whole nother show I'd love to do with you, but on banking and money, because that's on my radar. But when you look at the government's supposed to stop the propaganda, not perpetuate it. That is stunning that they've so interlaced themselves that you don't know where the corrupt bad actors stop and the government begins. That's frightening.
Yes. I mean, I think the saying is, if government, if you don't, if you think we have problems, then wait till you hear our solutions. So there's a certain level of bureaucratic incompetence and what they deem to be success. And success for them is failing to the level that they can justify getting additional spending, additional budgets for themselves. That is success. They don't really care about the actual mission. Look, I've been in conversations with people as a supervisor in the FBI where they told me that they didn't care if we arrested anyone. We just had to hit certain metrics when it came to intelligence reports. So the goals are completely turned on their head when it comes to our federal government. And then you get into the politicization, the weaponization, the fact that there is political capture at the very top of seems to be every single agency within our government, and they have their enemies, and they will use all the processes which they are very well versed on to go after their political enemies and do the bidding of the Biden administration now, which I don't think you can argue it is anything other than far left communist.
So, Steve, in your opinion, we're coming up on top of the show, and I so appreciate you being available. I called you yesterday. You're available today. I just really appreciate that and the access you give me. I wanted to just ask you one last thing. Do you think that these people that we're talking about, interlaced government, bad actors, George Soros, corrupt DOJ, committed insurrection? I mean, they're trying to say that Trump did while they spied on him, which is so illegal. I mean, it makes Watergate look like, Disneyland. Did they, in fact, see what I'm trying to get as we're getting ready to have the same thing happen again. We've got primaries. The primaries are as important, maybe more important than the general. Got to get the right people through. They're getting ready to pull the same shenanigans again. So did they indeed commit insurrection? I said they did. I think long before they tried to push it on Trump that he's the insurrectionist, they'd already done the deal. Thoughts?
I think that it all comes down to language. The other side learned long ago that they don't have to change the laws to completely use and take over the government and the apparatchik that they have at their fingertips. They just have to change the meaning of the words. And that's how they're able to use it and get us to swallow it. And therefore, they can use insurrection when, and that's not really what it means, but they're going to say it anyway. You know, obstruction of official proceeding is a tax law, but we're going to use it to go after other people. This is the problem here. We're not being clear. We're being too lawyerly on the right, and we're trying to play into their game.
Politics and language, such a great way to hang this show up on the end here. Thank you so much, Steve Friend, FBI whistleblower, great leader, and a patriot. Keep fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. We'll see you next Saturday morning.